we're talking with Tracy Ryerson, and we're gonna have a little drink and a chat. Tracy, you want to grab yourself a juice box?
Yeah. It's very early here. Well, it's 10 o'clock, and so I don't know if alcohol is the best, but
no.
Anything afternoon is free game.
Exactly. That's okay though, because it's any drink, and it is early, and I've been lucky enough to get a lot of LA people lately, so I understand. So I'm good if somebody just needs a coffee or a juice or something. That's okay.
You might hear the coffee machine come on. That's true.
Okay, that's fine. That's good. That's what we want to know. So this is a first, because I feel like I'm lucky enough to get to talk to just about every actress that's in a web series nowadays. You know, they come through to promote on the show and everything, and I just never got the chance to talk to you before.
I know. What's going on?
What is going on? You're busy.
No. I'm glad I got a chance to be on this as well. It's pretty cool, and it's fun to talk about the web series also, because it's something that, first of all, it flew by. We became this quick family, also, you know, with crew and cast, and I'm, you know, really proud of it. So,
and you should be. I was lucky enough to watch I did like the binge watch. I watched everything all right in a row, which I love doing.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Yeah, I was against it at first, and then I'm into it. You know, like, for instance, with Orange and the New Black.
Yes.
It was like something like 13 episodes. We had to stop each other. Jamie and I, my girlfriend and I, were watching it, and we would only let each other watch two a night. Anything more was like illegal.
It's absolutely insane, the binge watching thing, especially like the Breaking Bad. Like, it just really, everything, it's a Netflix thing, and it's just taken over. And
I know,
I get it now. I do, because that is kind of how I watch web series, but only because I have the time, and I know most people don't. But I do think that that's the allure of having a web series, is that, you know, your audience gets to watch it when it's convenient for them.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I do the same thing, especially, you know, when I was at work, my work also entailed watching material and finding new clients and just finding new stories. So it was great for me, because I'm like, great, I can squeeze in a 5-minute webisode.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a 10-minute short or whatever it is. Like, for me, that's really enticing.
I do think it's like a new wave of content for us now, because there's so little on television, you know, and even if it was, it's like, you have to DVR it. You got to find the time to watch it. And most people are online 24/7 anyway. So this is just, it's just a great new, you know, a new sector that we're moving into. And I do think it's going to take off, and it's just, you know, just a matter of finding, you know, sponsors and advertisers and stuff. And it's going to be just as good as regular TV. I'm convinced, because the quality, and this is one of the things I talked to about Kristen about is the quality in these projects, especially Kiss or I'm Famous. The quality is so good that you don't feel like you're watching a Bunny Ears, Air Buttons internet show. You feel like you're watching.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah,
exactly. And technology's gotten so much better, so you can buy a camera, you know, or a DSLR and switch it to video and shoot your own. But especially with the web series I did, Kiss or I'm Famous, I mean, Rola Solak, she's incredible. She showed me the first cut, I mean, and I was just blown away. I don't know why. I think I'm used to seeing certain things, and then when she showed me, I mean, the production value was so good.
Right.
For a web, you know, web series that didn't cost that much, I was blown away. So that's, you know, it's a very big part of it for me. I mean, I'm also extremely visual.
Yeah.
So, you know, having somebody that understands that and technicalities and all of it, it just made sense.
When they approached you with the script, did you have any concerns whatsoever, or were you just immediately hooked?
I was really intrigued by the premise. I like the idea of two, you know, girlfriends making a sex tape. I think that it's a really fun dialogue, you know, especially now, about how people catapult into fame. Fame is something, especially in Hollywood, that people seek, which is so interesting to me. And especially, you know, with me and my background being on a reality show, is only on the first season, but that's, you know, something we talk about a lot. And to be honest, to get me back, I was, you know, that was one of the bargaining chips, which for me is not a bargaining chip. I'd rather be rich and not famous. Like, that's different. That's more my thing. But just, you know, the fact that, you know, you get the Kim Kardashians and the Paris Hiltons and so-and-so who do put these sex tapes out and what happens afterwards.
Right.
So it's just fascinating to me. And so that pulled me in. And then the only thing that I had a hard time doing is when I read the script, I also work in development, in TV development. So I immediately had on my development hat, you know, where you pick it apart and you figure out why and what's the motivation here and why is Jen doing this? And I had to take that off. As an actress, you know, you should do that and read it with a bit of that, but I had to let go a little bit. So, you know, after talking with Lola a bit about story and so on, it all clicked. It all came together.
It is really well done. It's really well written, and everybody in your delivery is spot on. It's because it's funny. Like, that's the first thing, is that it's funny, but it is also so relevant to what's going on in society today. And yet we've made it ours. It's become, you know, a lesbian web series. So it's almost like it makes you feel included in what's going on in the world.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's so cool. It's
fun,
really great.
I mean, and most, you know, more than anything, when I read it, I was like, this is fun. Mm-hmm. Something that'll be really cool to do, you know, outside of my, I guess, comfort zone. Also playing, you know, I play sort of more the straight man to Jen, who's, you know, just quirky and goofy and doesn't stop talking and has, you know, a ton of one-liners. And that's fun for me, too, because I relate to that in the way that, you know, my relationship works with Sammy. She's a stand-up comedian, and, you know, she's got a zinger here and a zinger there, and in a weird way, what I do is help, you know, she says something, and I shoot her a look, and that's the straight man.
Right, exactly.
You set something up, like, you kind of know why you're there. it's interesting.
It's true. I mean, that it is true. I didn't even think about that. But now that you mention it, now after seeing it, you're right. And it is, you know, I guess part of it is that everybody does know you guys as a couple, you know, Tracy and Stamey from The Real L Word. And you guys were on for one season. But yet I think that you were what reality TV was supposed to be. Like, you had...
Oh, thank you.
I really do think that, and I'm thrilled that you're moving on from it and everything, and that stigma isn't attached, because it is with the other, with a lot of others that have passed through the Real L Word doors. But I think...
Right.
But I do think that's the kind of reality television that people want to see. You know, they want to see how somebody is handling it. That was a huge storyline, because you were coming out to your mom and your family, and you allowed
that
cameras to see that.
Really real and honest. And I actually didn't know my mom was going to be on it. I had, you know, many talks with her, and we had never, the main talk, that was the first time she's ever opened up, and it was on camera. I mean, like, she did, you know, so it was incredibly intense. I can't say I would do it over again, just because it was so emotional, and even things off camera that were never caught, you know, just because of the timing of filming and so on. It was intense, but I'm happy I did it, you know, for myself, for my relationship with my mom, and then also, you know, for others to see that it can be okay, and it takes, you know, it just takes some time sometimes.
Exactly. It really, I mean, that's the truth, and that was what we were able to see, and I think it was, that really made an impact, I think, as opposed to, you know, watching girls have one night stands and go out drinking and shaking their tatas and all that kind of stuff, which is fun, don't get me wrong, but I do think that there are a majority of people, you know, struggle with how they're going to come out and when they're going to come out, and they fear about how, you know, this huge fear about how it's going to go. And sometimes it doesn't go well in the beginning, but over time things do smooth out. And that's, I just love that was the best part of that, the legacy of that show. For me, that was the best part of it.
Oh, that's really cool to hear. Thank you. Yeah, it was fun. I mean, we took a lot away from it. We had a great time on the first season, and we contemplated doing more, and it just, you know, it just didn't line up. It just didn't make sense for us to do it, you know, based on content and the direction that they were going, new cast, and then contractually we couldn't agree. So it was, you know.
Yeah, it seemed like it was
good
going.
Run, and we're happy.
I'm glad. It's nice to be able to walk away from a body of work and say, you know what, that was it. That was our time. You know, we did it, and it came out good. And let's just, you know, let's pick up our toys and go home now. You know, that was good.
Yeah, it's funny. I love, though, I have to say, everyone's like, she doesn't, you know, because I, you know, we don't kiss on the first season. And we did, they, you know, they didn't use some stuff, but we're not going to take our clothes off and have sex on camera. It's just not who we are. But now with the web series, Lola has me, like, scripted kissing, like, 3, 4, 5 people. And what are you doing to me? So funny. I'm like, Lola, I'm like the kissing bandit in season 2.
Right, but you're a character in that. You're not playing yourself, so exactly. you can get away with it.
Well,
so that's pretty...
that's my comfort zone, and that's the difference, and that's exactly what makes sense to me. You know, in reality TV, I'm portraying myself. It's my story, and I'm happy to open up my life and my vulnerabilities for people to see, but, you know, it's totally different. And again, I probably only showed, like, I don't know, maybe 20-30% of who I am, but, you know, with scripted TV, web series, and so on, it's different. You can go to some places.
You can, and that's the cool thing too, is that you can kind of take a couple of chances and some risks, and then if that doesn't work out, you kind of find something that's a little more relatable. But at least you have those opportunities. Yeah, yeah.
It is. Oh, exactly, and it's you know, it's an art form. There's where it differs. It's something that you practice at, and you know you go to school for, and you you're a professional, and it just makes sense, and it's fun to play with different characters and people that aren't necessarily the same as you as well. I mean, you try to find similarities in characters, but it, you know, a lot of times they're not what you are at all.
Right.
You suddenly have to become that and make it believable. So it's, you know, that's a challenge, and that's a big reason why I started acting, because I think it's incredibly funny for me to play something that I'm not.
It's got to be fun in a challenging kind of way, and I guess, you know, you can't go wrong when you challenge yourself. You know, that's
right.
That's always a plus. And I guess one of the things I wondered after watching it, I wondered if when you first had cameras following you around on The Real L Word and they were there all the time, and then you make that transition to say, all right, I'm going to do something scripted, and it's, you know, 10 minutes to shoot this and then go sit in a trailer for a little while, 10 minutes to shoot that, go sit, you know, on the sidelines for a little while. It was all such a huge adjustment, but it seemed like such a seamless transition, because I guess once you're used to those cameras, the next phase would be to become an actor and not a reality, you know, face of reality TV. So was that always in the plan to become an actor, or?
No, I had never thought of being one. I, you know, when I was younger, I had a lot of people approach me. I have some family in the business, but a lot out as well, about modeling or being commercials or acting in general. And I would just push it off because I've always wanted to be a producer. And that's what I went to school for. And you know, I was very much, I had this thought process of brains before beauty, because beauty fades. And, you know, and I'm very strong about that, with strong will. And then one day, I think I just grew up, and you become a woman, and you're confident, you walk into a room differently, and you realize that the best part of being a woman is that you can have brains and beauty. Like, you can use both.
Right.
And it's something for me, I guess, that was just very empowering, and I realized, you know what, especially having a business mindset, it could be fun getting into acting, because I'm coming into it from a different angle.
Yeah.
I've been on a ton of sets, but... you know, as a development executive or as a producer. So, you know, now going as an actor, I respect what everybody's doing. I understand. I look a really full, you know, rounded opinion of everything.
Right.
And it just, I think it helped also, especially with acting, with rejection. So the fact that I don't ever really feel rejected, which is a big thing with actors, and, you know, the majority of this business is you go after your audition after audition after audition, and you're going to book, I don't know, 1 out of 10 of them, so you're rejected 9 times.
Yeah.
That says something to you, I would think.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, I think just because I've been around it so long, and I know that a lot of the reasons aren't personal, it's mostly, you know, your hair is dark and not blonde, that it doesn't really affect me.
Isn't it, it is crazy that something that would affect someone walking in to apply for, like, a receptionist job, and they go, oh, sorry, you can't, because we were looking for a blonde, you know,
yeah.
But it's perfectly acceptable. Like, that would not fly in the real world, but in Hollywood.
You know what? It does happen, I have to say. I don't know if this is Hollywood, but it does happen.
It's got to be in Hollywood.
It must. Listen, it can never get out, but that's a whole other thing.
It's true.
It's interesting.
It is. It is. I have a cousin that's been out there for years, and I go, I don't know how day in and day out you can constantly hear, you're too short, your hair is too curly, you're not right for this part, your skin's kind of olive, we were looking for somebody a little paler, we were looking for, I'm like, how many times can you hear that before you're like, oh my God, what is wrong here? But no, it's just I don't know, he perseveres, he gets through it.
True. Well, I mean, listen, a lot of the job is about your exterior, and you want your interior to come out through that. But it is about when it's your first impression when you walk into a room. It's also you're filling a slot for them. A lot of times, casting directors or producers don't even know what they're looking for until that right person really walks in. So they'll bring in 100 girls for something.
Yeah.
Or for instance, I got down to the final few on this one. It was a commercial. And I saw that the girl that would play against, opposite of me, was blonde, and then there was some brunette. And then I realized they booked the blonde, but they wouldn't book another. Or no, they booked a brunette, but they weren't going to book another brunette because they needed a blonde. It was this whole thing, and I was like, huh. I was like, well, I don't take offense to any of it. You just go in and give your best and walk out. And I tend to forget about it, and then it's great because if you do book it, it's sort of like a surprise.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's like you get that call and it's like, wow, I totally forgot I even auditioned for that.
Yeah, I had that happen last week, which was very cool. I didn't think I would get it. It's one of those, it's a print ad, and they bring in like 500 girls that look like you. And you walk in, they hand you a number, you pull it up to your chest, do a few poses, and you leave. And it's the quickest thing. It's so impersonal. And you forget about it. I totally forgot about it, and I got a call like 2 weeks later and said I booked it, and I was like, oh, this is fantastic.
That is crazy.
It's like that. You just keep going in for them.
It is such a crazy business. It really is. Now, about it from both ends then, because, with producing, it's you're on the other side of it. So when you are involved in producing a project, what are you looking for? What kind of components make an ideal project to produce?
Well, I'm right now consulting for a producer out of London, and then I produce my own stuff, mostly reality. But what I tend to look for, it all boils down to story. I don't care if you're looking at a feature film, a TV show, a reality show, whatever it is, you need story. And an interesting character, I tend to go for flawed characters. I find that there's a lot that you can do with them. And look at Nurse Jackie, for instance.
Yeah.
And the lead on that.
Yeah.
Look at Dexter is a good example. He's extremely flawed, but he's totally likable, and you can do a lot with somebody like that.
It's true.
And it's, something I tend to go for more dark and raw and gritty stories, which I don't know what that says about my head. I'm just demented. I have no idea. But it's just something that I'm drawn to. And from there, for me, it's finding a book that's available. It's finding a young screenwriter that I can either pair up with somebody that's been around a while and that's more, available, or just developing with them and trying to go out without a spec. So it just depends.
It's cool. It's kind of like connecting the dots.
Yeah, that's what I like. It's, I think I'm good at packaging. And, after years in Hollywood, a lot of this town is networking.
Yeah.
And there's a way to do it in a non-sleazy way, because it's also very easy to just, lose your soul in this town, I feel like. But, you have your circle of friends that over time you end up going to, and the one piece of advice I can give anybody getting into this business is be nice to everybody, from the ground up. You don't know where someone's going to be.
It's true. It is true. Like,
where they're going to land.
Yeah, things happen on a dime. It's amazing. It's so true. That is, that's a good piece of advice.
Yeah, and I've seen it happen so many times. Just this morning I read about somebody who I started out with in the business at a lit agency, and we were assistants together, and he just got, a six-figure book deal. He's writing now.
Wow.
Luckily we've always liked each other. But you just never know, and it's always great to help your peers.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it all comes back around in the funniest of ways.
It really does. And over time, like you said, that is, it's an industry in it and a city really that will suck your soul out. But you and Stamey, to me, I get the feeling that you guys are so extremely grounded. You know, I mean, like, I think you work at that, though, don't you?
What's that?
You have to work at staying grounded over there, don't you?
I mean, I think so, but I think you surround yourself with the right people. Like, at one point, I considered a lot of people my friends. And then, just like, it felt like overnight, it wasn't overnight, but I was like, wow, half these people aren't my friends. They're my drinking buddies, or they're my development, you know, people that I know. And then, or there's the person that calls you whenever they need something.
Mm-hmm.
It's really annoying.
Yeah.
And you kind of go through it, and you're like, who's really my friend? And you sort of, what I did is trim the fat, not in an aggressive way, but you figure out, you know, who your people are.
Yeah.
And after you surround yourself with those people that are positive and that really, you know, they got your back, you have their back, it just makes sense. It all clicks, you know? And so living in a city like this, which, by the way, is incredibly beautiful,
it is,
you know, and it gets a bad rap sometimes, but it's perfect. Like, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Yeah, no, it is beautiful. It is. I've only been a few times, but every time I go, there's that feeling of, it's kind of a mix between, this is exactly like it looks on TV, and this is completely different than it is on TV. It's such a perfect,
it
is, it really is. And it's,
and especially in Los Angeles, like, I'm from the Northeast, I'm from Northern Jersey, next door to New York. Gosh, I was there a couple of times, days a week. And that's where I feel like home is. But if I ever am missing home, I go to different areas in LA, have a different feel, which I think it happens everywhere, but they're very close here. So you drive 10 minutes and you're in a little, you know, place that makes you feel like you're in New York. You drive another 10 and you're hiking Runyon Canyon, looking over to the ocean. There's just so many things you can do. In such a small space, I guess you can say, even though a lot of people would say it's vast, it's gorgeous. I mean, I love the idea of surfing the same day you're going to go snowboarding. I mean, where else can you do that?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, year round. I mean, that's the amazing thing. I grew up in Buffalo. So like I hated winter. So then I was in Florida it was brutal winters, but then I was in Florida for 25 years and I go, oh my God, there's nothing else but hot. Like, the seasons are hot, hotter and hottest. You know?
And no hills.
No hills. Like, flat as a board. And then I moved to London and I'm like, now I got the perfect mix because I've got the seasons, I've got the hills, I've got, you know, so it takes a while to figure out where you feel like you belong. And this is, and you guys, I just only about a week ago started, getting some information about you guys coming. You guys are coming to Candy Bar.
Yeah, we're coming to Candy Bar and in November. And I think there's still a few tickets, actually, if people want to get tickets. But it's going to be a ton of fun.
It sounds like it.
We've got some surprise guests coming with us, too, sort of friends of. And they're going to pop into the event as well. I think we'll probably announce it this week.
Oh, my goodness. You know, this is November 23rd. It's at Candy Bar in Soho. And there's a ton of stuff everywhere right now. I love a surprise. I'll be looking forward to that. That's going to be awesome.
Definitely.
I'm so going to make it.
Stamey's going to do a comedy show there.
Oh, good.
We might have another comedian coming in as well, doing a set. And then, you know, the same old, because we've been to a few events there, and I think a lot of the same people are going to be coming back. But they'll have, like, a Q&A session, autograph session, pictures, things like that. And it's truly fun. It's gotten to a point where we're going to see all our friends now, because, you know, people we've known now for 5 years or so, or maybe 3 to 5 years, they're all having babies, or they're all engaged, and we've gone through this journey with them. It's kind of cool.
Oh, that's going to be fun then for you. I'm going to try and make it. I got, we're in Brighton the day before, which is a little bit further south. And my parents are in town. So I've got a couple of hurdles, but I'm going to try and make it.
Yeah, I would love to see you.
It'd be so fun. Well, I totally appreciate you taking the time out. I know how busy you are, and talking with us. This has been amazing. I'm so thrilled we got to do it.
Oh yeah, me too. Thank you. I'm happy too. Next time we'll do it live in London.
Exactly. Excellent. Okay, give my best to Stamey, and you guys have a great day.
Thank you. I will. You too.
Thanks, Tracy. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.